If you'd like to turn to Psalm 63, we'll be looking at Psalm 63 this morning. The story is told. It was hot. The sun was beating down on his head, searing its rays into his skull. If only he had some water, anything with moisture would be a miracle. Gary had entered the Sahara 3 weeks earlier. It had been his lifelong dream to travel across the great desert by himself. And 1 month ago, the dream became a reality. Though now Gary had laughed at the thought, he was not sure what reality was. Gary had entered the desert with a guide, a camel, a map, plenty of food and water. But the guide disappeared one night with the camel and most of the food and water. Gary had finished the food a week and a half before and had run out of water the previous day. For over 2 weeks, he had wandered in the desert, unable to utilize the map, and now he was sure he would die there. His one wish was for water. What he had taken for granted all his life was suddenly his deepest desire. Anything to cool him from the heat. His clothes were tattered. His skin burned, peeled, and burned again. His lips were swollen, and though he imagined he was speaking out loud, he knew he wasn't because his lips had dried and stuck together. Oh, for some water to relieve his pain. He had never understood the term raging thirst until now. He fell to the ground, the sound of his breathing, ragged, panting, so dry. Imagine with me how that raging thirst must have felt as he was laying on the sand of the Sahara alone and literally dying for thirst. Gary did survive his desert experience. A tribe found him laying alone in the sand and took him in. Gary lived to tell the story, one of hunger beyond reason and thirst that felt like fire. All he needed, all he thirsted for was water. I can imagine all he was searching for in that desert was a drop of water to bring him relief from his thirst. So we're going to look at Psalm 63 today, where we find David in the wilderness seeking after God. The title this morning is Psalm of the Thirsty Soul. But first, let's look back at the previous two Psalms to see the impact of Psalm 63. We see a lot of faith in Psalm 61 and 62, and we see that the faith of these two Psalms reaches its conclusion in Psalm 63 when David is in this wilderness of Judah. So it's worth looking back to Psalm 61 and 62 quickly. So I will read Psalm 61 for us, a short chapter. Psalm 61 says, "I hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day." We see such faith in this psalm. Then we look to Psalm 62. We won't read the entire psalm, but Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2 say, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." And then in Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God." We see the words like refuge, salvation, high tower, mighty rock. We see David's faith in God in these two psalms. Then we see Psalm 63 starts with, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you." This psalm displays David's love for God in a dry, thirsty, and hard place, in a place where the soul is either destroyed nor is it nourished. David's soul deepens with the heat of the circumstances. The wilderness David was in was also a spiritual wilderness for him. He was in a lonely, solitary, destitute, unsettling place. It was a time with little direction as to what to do. I think we can all relate to being in a place like this, a place of in our spiritual life, perhaps not our physical life, but our spiritual place of solitude, destitute, unsettled, and afflicted place. But David found God for his soul while in this wilderness. So as we look at Psalm 63, as I said, the Psalm of the Thirsty Soul, it's also known as the Psalm of the Desperate Life, the Psalm of the Satisfied Soul, the Psalm of the Wilderness Experience, the Psalm of Intense Longing for God. I like that, intense longing for God. So let's read together our text, Psalm 63. Psalm 63 says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be portioned for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." So we just read the entire chapter, but this morning we're going to look just at verses 1 through 5. I was going to cover the entire chapter, but we would have been here much longer than we will be. So this morning, we're just going to look specifically at verses 1 through 5. First, the background of Psalm 63. The setting is the wilderness of Judah. David is in yet another wilderness experience of weariness and distress in a rough place with an unusual life and in an alarming circumstance. Most believe he is running from Absalom's rebellion, and is in the wilderness. He was in a land that creates weariness by the roughness of its paths, the steepness of its hills, and the heat of the days. The wilderness is used to show a place of transition and difficulty. We see this used many times in Scripture. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 23 says, "And all the land wept aloud as all the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook of Kidron, and all the peoples passed on towards the wilderness." The land wept. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 2 says, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who faint in the wilderness to drink." And then also 2 Samuel 17 verse 29 says, "Honey and curds and sheep and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." David is king and has been king for many years. He has experienced many battles, but this is his own son, the son he loved with all his heart, and now this son is after him. John Calvin said the following psalm cannot be properly said to consist of prayers as of a variety of meditations, which comforted David under dangers, anxieties, and troubles of a severe description. Here contains the vows which he made to God in the distress occasioned by the alarming circumstance in which he was placed. Tyndale said this, "Once more the worst has brought out David's best in words as it did in deeds. There may be other psalms that equal this outpouring of devotion, but few, if any, surpass it." So first we're going to look at the longing for the Lord. The longing, "My soul thirsts for God," he says. So we'll look at "My soul thirsts for you." We're going to see David's longing for the Lord. Verse 1, as it says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." One commentary paraphrased verse 1 like this, "God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and thirst for God traveling across dry and weary deserts." His desire is for God. "Oh God, you are my God." His desire. What stands out right away in verse 1, we see David calling to God. Who is his God? "You are my God." First and foremost, that is what is important. You are God. You alone are sovereign in my life. You alone are God. Then he says, "You are my God." One writer said, when those two things are in place, everything else in life falls into place. This is a personal. He's not calling to God, "You are my family's God," or "God, you are my spouse's God," or "You are the church's God." No, David is calling to God, "You are my God." He is crying out to the faithful God, and he is also affirming God is the Lord, the one true God, and there is no other. He then goes on to say, "Earnestly I seek you. My heart cry is for God. Earnestly I seek you." The word "earnestly" comes from the Hebrew word which means "look for the dawn." As we sang this morning, "as the watchman waits for dawn." And it means to seek earnestly, to seek with longing, to strongly desire a relationship with and search for. The Hebrew word for "seek" has the idea of an action undertaken with great intensity. It isn't a casual seeking, but a passionate and desperate all-out pursuit. David emphasizes this with the illustration of thirst, where he says, I seek after God with the same passion, intense, and focus that a man lost in the desert, like Gary, as we started our message this morning, as Gary sought for water, we must also seek for just that. We must seek Christ in that same way. It isn't a matter of it would be nice to have a drink. It's a passionate, desperate that says my life depends on this. The psalmist yearns for fellowship with the Lord like one who thirsts for water after days in the desert. There is no thirst and sense of exhaustion like that of a person who walks around in the desert. So strong is David's longing for God. C.S. Lewis said this. He said the psalmist had an appetite for God. Is my desperation for God to that point where my life means nothing without a relationship with Him? Do I passionately pursue spending time with Him like a man dying of thirst would seek for that relief in the desert? Is that our passionate pursuit? My soul thirsts for you. My passion is for God. My soul thirsts. To thirst is to avidly desire something as necessity to life, to crave eagerly, to seek with earnest and vehement desire, as thirsty fields wait for rain. We are seeing this right now, as we know we desperately need rain for our grounds. It is a great need. Those who are said to thirst are those who painfully feel their need and want for something, eagerly longing for those things which bring refreshing support and strength. When a dying man is in the desert, thirsts for water, everything else pales in comparison. Nothing else matters but that drink of water. Money, fame, relationships, everything else falls short of meeting that desperate need that consumes. To long for something is to desire so greatly that it causes physical weakness or pain. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Psalm 143 and verse 6 says, I stretch out my hand to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And then Jeremiah 31 and verse 25 says, for I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languished soul I will replenish. Thirsty land is an exhausted land, a land that has been drained of any refreshment that should have been there. You can be seeking God in a place where it feels like He will never be found, the land parched, and the place where you used to find great refreshing times in God are now as barren as a desert. I want to stop and take a moment to really think about what David is saying in this verse. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. As we have looked at what it means to earnestly seek and to thirst after something, now I want you to really think about this. I don't think many of us have been in a desert situation that was life or death if we didn't get water. I'm sure we can all relate to wanting something so much that it consumes your thoughts and actions. Wanting that promotion at work. Wanting that perfect family. Wanting that new big house with the white picket fence. Wanting that brand new fully loaded Jeep. I don't know who that would be. Wanting a broken relationship to be mended. Or simply wanting fame, fortune, and power. What is it that you are earnestly seeking? What is it that you thirst for and faint for? What causes pain? Is it some variation of something of this world? Is it an earthly treasure that you earnestly seek? Or can you echo David in this psalm and say, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." We must be willing to say, "God, I eagerly seek and thirst for you above everything else this world has to offer. I am in pain. I faint for you as a person in a desert, in desperate need of water. I am in desperate need of you." Can you say that today? Do you even desire to say that? Are you more interested in the things of this world? What are you holding on to? What do you seek above God today? The psalmist says that even when I am in these places of dry land, of wilderness and desert, I seek God earnestly and passionately, and most importantly, I expect to see him. Visions of God's goodness is what we'll look at next. My expectation is for God. "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary," he goes on to say. We see the vision of God's goodness in verses 2 and 3. "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you." A sanctuary is a sacred place, a place that has been set apart from all others as a place that is sacred and holy by God's presence, a place dedicated to God. David's past experience of fellowship and enjoyment of God's goodness is what starts the search for God in the wilderness. You can find God in all parts of your life. He is there in the busyness of your day, but there is an aspect and relationship with God that can be found in a place that has been set apart in holiness and dedicated place for you and him alone. You have looked and found him in the sanctuary, and there we have seen his power and glory, verse 2 says. "So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory." And then he says in verse 3, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." David is earnestly seeking God. He knows he is there. He has seen him in the sanctuary. He has changed his metaphor from the desert to a time where he sees God. He knows God's goodness, his holiness, his power, glory, and steadfast love. As we look back at Psalm 61 and 62, he knows, as he says, "You are my refuge and strength, my high tower." He says, "His mighty rock and his salvation." So he has seen him. David knows the God he worships is the great king who promised to be present among his people. David's yearning for God is enhanced by his past experiences of fellowship, his glorious presence, and the evidences of his steadfast love. He knows who he believes in, and he is persuaded that that great God will deliver him. This knowledge gives him a longing for God, as well as a confidence that the Lord will not abandon him. He has seen his power and glory. He has seen his steadfast love that is better than life. So what can he do? He does the only thing he can, and that is he praises him. "My lips will praise you." He praises him in the world. wilderness. He praises him in this time of distress and hardship. Do you have that relationship? Do you have those past experiences? So when the desert of this life comes, and when it seems like you are alone, do you have that same confidence in the Lord because of your experience and fellowship with him? Do you have that faith in him that gives you the longing for God and the confidence in him because you have seen his power, his glory, and his steadfast love in your life time and time again? If you are hearing this today and saying that you do not have this past experience to cling to or to look back on, you might be thinking you do not have a relationship with the Lord at all. I would implore you to not wait anymore. Do not go through this life alone. Look to the only true God, who in his steadfast love has sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Christ came, fully God and fully man, to die on the cross in our place, that we may have everlasting life in him. We know we are sinful people in need of a Savior, and Christ, in his great love, took on our sin. The first verse of the song that we sang it last Sunday, His Robes for Mine. That first verse says, His robes for mine, O wonderful exchanged. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, in my place he died. That comes right from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, where it says, For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Put your faith and trust in him today and start that relationship of confidence in him, and confidence that can only be found in Christ. Then we see praise of the Lord. My worship is for God. I will praise you. I will worship God for his power and glory and steadfast love. This word for worship contains the idea of telling others of his mighty acts and deeds, making excited proclamations of his excellentness. We see verse 4 says, So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. I will praise you as long as I live. One commentary on this verse said, Even if the psalmist were to endure adversity throughout the rest of his life, he commits himself to the praise of God and to a life of trust in his deliverance. In his praise, here he is anticipating the deliverance. In that anticipation, he is going to praise him as long as he lives. And in his name, I will lift up my hands, he says, which is talking about prayer. In your name, and in your name only, will I pray in eager anticipation of deliverance. In his name, in the name of the Lord, he is grounded in hope and trust. We see a few scripture references talking of praise of the Lord. We see in Psalm 145 and verse 4, One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 35 says, Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praises. And then Psalm 117, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That then takes us to verse 5, where he says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Praise is the response of the faith in God's perfect, as he is true and faithful to his people. David expects the Lord to come through in this time of abandonment. He will provide for his needs. He conveys this message of abundance, of deliverance, in the metaphor of a feast. David says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. The phrase is symbolic for the joy, greatness, and goodness associated with the love of the Lord. We started with his soul thirsting for God, his soul fainting for God, as in a dry place with no water and no food. Then after his eager expectation, he then goes to the expectation that his soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food. Such a change. Prayer that is confident of the Lord's reliability to his promises also expresses praise. The Lord is pleased with the lips of men that joyfully radiate his praises. We see David in the wilderness experience, a place of hardship and a place of feeling far from God. We see that at this moment, at this time, he does not give into fear. He does not give into self-loathing. No, he earnestly seeks God as if his very life depended on it. He again, in his time of need, does not forget what the Lord has done for him, how the Lord has provided in the past. No, David remembers his power and glory and steadfast love that is better than life. So he can only praise him and respond. He in this desert finds his confidence and hope in the Lord, as well as his satisfaction in him. He may be in a wilderness experience of life at this time, but his soul is satisfied in him and in him alone. When the wilderness and desert times of your life comes, what is your reaction? Do you turn to and earnestly seek the one who is able to get you through the wilderness? Or do you turn to self and your own perceived power to get you out of this wilderness time? Turn to the Lord, seek him, thirst for him, as in a dry and weary land, with your full hope and confidence and praise in him. For he will see you through, and your soul will be satisfied, and your mouth will praise the Lord with joyful lips. Let's seek and thirst, eagerly seek after him today, in full confidence and in full praise to him. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning we would be a people that are hungering and thirsting after you. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are in desperate need of you. Lord, I pray first and foremost that we would depend upon you as our God, that you are our sovereign Lord. And Lord, I pray that as trials and wildernesses come, that we would seek you earnestly, having a full confidence that you will see us through. Lord, we look back and see how you have so generously and graciously provided over our life. So, Lord, I pray that as the wilderness times come, we would not forget, but our lips would praise you for your glory and power and steadfast love that is better than life. Lord, I ask that you be with us today. Lord, I ask that we would earnestly seek you in full praise, fully confident of your great and powerful goodness to us. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.